Good morning. 38 minutes past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. The president does his best to convince the big health insurance companies that Obamacare is a good thing. Is it working? Well, join us to weigh in on this and other medical issues, Dr. David Stevens. He's the CEO of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing?
Good. I understand the president recently made a personal appeal to health insurance executives regarding Obamacare. What was the purpose of that meeting, and what did he say to them?
Well, he kind of dropped by, is what they said, but this was very planned because what's happening is the groups are dropping out. Aetna, United Healthcare, Humana are sharply pulling back on many of the government's healthcare plan market things, so that they saying this is costing too much. We're losing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And so when they had a meeting in Washington, he just kind of dropped by. Interestingly enough, some CEOs didn't even show up because they had already just decided we're not going to be involved in this anymore. And things are really going bad. The other thing that's happening, Bill, is that they're just raising prices. And the average estimated this year in the request that they've put forth is a 23% increase in 1 year on what people will have to pay in premiums across the board, and a lot of this is because of Obamacare.
So are we talking premiums for everybody that's buying health insurance, whether it's through their employer or individually or through one of these exchanges, or is it mainly dinging the people that are going through the exchanges?
It's really in both. It's costing more everywhere, and, you know, Obamacare was supposed to get the cost of health care down. It's actually increased it. It makes sense. I mean, we increased the bill for health care over 10 years by estimated $2 trillion. They included, for example, 63 preventative services that no longer there would be any copays for. You got them free. You cannot take people to the candy store, turn them loose, and say, well, you know, all this stuff's going to be free. Isn't it wonderful? Now vote for this and then think we don't have to pay the piper sooner or later. And exactly what's starting to happen.
So you're talking about under Obamacare, and I've seen some changes in my own insurance policy. Premiums have certainly gone up, but some of these preventative things are now covered, but somebody's got to pay the piper for them.
They do. They have to pay the piper. And used to, there were at least modest copays. Now they're completely free. So there's two things that happen. One, and preventive services are good. I'm just talking about the biggest problem in healthcare is it costs too much. And we have kind of kid ourselves that we can get more and pay less. That just doesn't work. And so if I go in and need lab work or a physical, or a woman needs a mammogram, or, you know, 63 different things, it doesn't cost anything. So what happens? Well, definitely then I want it. And then secondly, the doctor may do it even if I really don't need it. Because it's free, and, well, if they want it, I'll give it to them because there's no cost involved. That causes inflationary pressures on healthcare costs. The other thing that's happening, Bill, and you've seen it in the news, is that we've got some pretty unethical pharmaceutical companies across the country that are just jacking up prices on things and making medicines that have been around for years ridiculously expensive. They call them orphan drugs. One company has this drug. Not a lot of people need it, but when you need it, it is terribly expensive. I had one of my staff who they got a puppy down at the pound, found out that they hadn't treated it for worms, and the dog had worms. They were very concerned about their kids and came and asked me about it. And I said, hey, you know, when we were in Africa, we just dewormed the kids every 6 months because there were worms everywhere, and it's safe, and, you know, these cost pennies. Wrote him a prescription for 6 tablets, one for each person in the family, $1,200.
No!
And this drug cost a nickel.
Oh,
a
my
nickel.
Gosh.
And then I said, well, I'll go look in Canada. Canada, they were selling it for $2 a tablet. We're seeing this increasingly in the country with drugs. And so there's that going on as well. Our healthcare system is just in a mess. I think that's a summary statement.
Now, we've had another issue come up with Obamacare, and that is fraud. A couple new government audits have found that things aren't looking real good on the honesty front when it comes to Obamacare.
Yeah, you know, the big thing when this came out was, were enough people going to sign up? And so a lot of political pressure. Let's get as many people in as possible, you know, so we don't have these bad numbers because people weren't signing up. Well, what's going on is they're signing up anybody for any reason or no reason, or they are, it's really fraud. And so the Government Accountability Office actually went in and put in fake applications for this, fake Social Security numbers. People are supposed to have filed tax returns and show they qualified with a previous tax return. They had no tax returns. And the story, you know, just this, that, and the other. Everybody got into Obamacare, even though there was obvious fraud in their applications. And then they did it with Medicaid applications, where you can sign up on the exchanges for Medicaid. And they did pick up some of the applications that they didn't qualify for Medicaid, but then they turned around and gave them all Obamacare. Now, you need to understand, it's not just insurance. These people are actually getting tax credits. What that means is, they get money given to them against the payment of their taxes. It's not a deduction, but if they owe money in taxes, then they get, or they get money to do Obamacare. So it all across the board, I mean, nobody got thrown out at all, even with the fake Social Security numbers, which just takes seconds to check.
Well, and we can imagine if the General Accounting Office puts in 10 fraudulent applications, how many other ones that are out there that have been approved, and it's very, very troubling. We're talking to Dr. David Stevens with the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some disturbing trends in bioethics, which I know Dr. Stevens' organization is very concerned about. Stick with us here on Faith Radio. Good morning. 47 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with my special guest, Dr. David Stevens. He's the CEO of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Joins us on medical issues and medical ethics. And David, I saw this story on LifeSite, which is a pro-life news site, about an article in the Journal of Medical Ethics. And in that article, a bioethicist argues that severely injured patients should be euthanized so their organs can be harvested. I mean, this is Frankenstein stuff. Fill us in on this.
Well, interestingly enough, the Journal of Medical Ethics is one of the premier ethical journals in the world. It comes out of England. And it says if somebody's in a vegetative state and their family member, you know, they put these hypothetical things together trying to convince you this is okay. But for some patient in a vegetative state and their family member needs an organ, and while, you know, it's allowable to not feed them and dehydrate them to death, well, then why not just to give them a lethal injection and harvest their organs, or harvest their organs to kill them? And makes a serious case for this. This minimizes suffering. It's best for everybody. It's less suffering for the patient than dehydrating. You know, that's kind of an argument like, well, which is better, to strangle someone to death or stab them with a knife? And you're thinking, well, the real issue is you shouldn't be killing them at all. And that's what's going on here. You shouldn't be dehydrating these patients to death. And just because you are doesn't justify doing this. Interesting thing, this isn't a new idea, and it's already being done, Bill. It's being done in the Netherlands, where they've already there actually euthanized patients on the operating table by taking their organs out and saying, isn't this a good thing? And then even more scarier, just in the last few weeks, the Netherlands has gone from an opt-in to an opt-out policy on organ donation. What do I mean by that? Instead of, you know, like we do here, you can sign your driver's license or whatever and say, yes, you can use my organs if I'm killed. There, they automatically will use your organs unless you tell them not to. Now, that gets even more scary because one of the categories for euthanasia in the Netherlands is without explicit request or admission and permission. And that is already happening, where people are actually euthanized in Netherlands who never asked for it, requested it, or whatever. And they don't prosecute these doctors doing it because the doctors say, well, it's for the patient's good. So you can see this deadly thing going together. Now, it's easy, Bill, to say, well, that's over there. This is America. Just Saturday, Colorado Medical Association took a neutral position on physician-assisted suicide. In every state in the United States where that has happened, Oregon, Washington, and California, physician-assisted suicide has been legalized. And so we are continuing to move down this path. Other states, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, are at high risk right now. There's attempts to pass this in 38 states. And this is beginning to sweep across the country. Many believe that how California goes, the country goes.
Now, getting back to something you said a minute ago about the Netherlands, I wasn't quite clear. You're saying that without specific permission that doctors can euthanize. So are you talking about somebody who already is in a vegetative state, or what sort of situations come up where the hospital, the medical board can say, yes, we're just going to euthanize this person?
Yeah, it's not the medical board, it's just the individual physician. This started way back in 1984. A doctor walked into a nursing home, two patients with Alzheimer's disease, and he said, well, they have lives not worthy to be lived, but they can't give permission. So he euthanized them, gave them lethal injections.
Oh, my.
It was taken to court. Not only was he let off without any penalty, he was given $200,000 for damage to his reputation. And ever since then, doctors in that country, and now Belgium and Switzerland, increasingly have the power to just go ahead and do this if they think that's in the, quote, patient's best interest. And, of course, when there's a family member or another patient that they're taking care of, and this person has the right tissue type for a transplant, you can see the conflict of interest that begins to occur as well, to think, well, let's get some, this patient's going to die anyway. Let's get some good use out of it. This is the same argument, Bill, that we had with the embryonic stem cell debate, 15 years ago. These embryos are going to die, so why don't we use them for research, sacrifice them for the good of mankind? Now they're doing it on the other end of life to get organs. Canada is already considering this after they legalized euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide through a court case a couple years ago, and this option's on the table as well.
Well, who's providing oversight here? I mean, you're telling me that individual doctors can go into a nursing home and say, oh, that person has Alzheimer's, so we just need to take them out? I mean, it's just crazy making.
It is technically against the law, but everybody that's been found in the Netherlands doing it has not been penalized. And so the word's out. I mean, you go ahead and do it. Yes, we'll say it's not the best thing, but you can do it because that's tolerated in this country. So once you say, Bill, that there's lives not worthy to be lived, somebody begins to decide who those lives are. And it's not just, as we say here, well, the patient gives permission and signs forms. Once you're willing to kill a patient, either helping them kill them or actually killing them, there's no logical place to draw the line. In fact, as soon as this is legalized in more states, we'll very quickly go to euthanasia, because how can you deny this to a patient who can't swallow the pills? I mean, don't they have a right? If the other people have a right, and so it just becomes a court case, and it'll be available. And they've shown in the Netherlands 20% of the time when you give patients pills, they vomit them up, they don't die, they wake up the next day, get sloppy. Well, let's make sure a physician is there and it's done properly and with monitoring while it happens. And then euthanasia happens. So we're heading down this slippery slope. People try to say there isn't one, but there definitely is. We've seen it in every country where this happens. We're on a slower slope right now because they're trying to get more states involved. If we had a Supreme Court case legalizing this, we'd go down the slippery slope a lot faster, but it's going to happen.
I read this very troubling story on CNN in Belgium, another country where this is legal, about a child who was recently euthanized. I mean, this is just insane, David.
In the Netherlands, you can euthanize babies with malformations, and that's left open to interpretation, disabilities. In the Netherlands, young people as young as 14 can make this decision even over their parents' opposition. I mean, it's just crazy things going on. And then it extends both directions. In Australia, they had an article in a major ethics journal there talking about after-birth abortion. So what do you mean by that? Well, if it's okay to abort a baby before birth, why isn't it okay to kill the baby after birth if you don't get what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, it's logical. But once you get the dam leaking, more holes start popping through, and before long, the whole dam breaks. And that's exactly what's happening on these ethical issues, because once you say it's okay to kill a patient to relieve, quote, suffering, how do you define suffering? What machine do you hook up to people to say you've got enough suffering to do this? Suffering is totally subjective. And therefore, how can you deny it to anyone who say they are suffering? And in the Netherlands, they do it for psychiatric illness, depression.
Sure, a severely depressed person. I just want to end it all. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or no suffering. I mean, no illness at all. In Belgium, they've done it to people that might lose their hearing or are going blind, and they want this, and they give it to them.
Oh, David, so troubling. One of the things I have to tell you is I appreciate so much the Christian Medical and Dental Association taking a strong stand on this issue, and I know you're working to prevent this sort of thing from happening in states, working with state medical boards and working as advocates. So thank you for your tireless work in this very troubling area.
Thank you, Bill. God bless.
Thanks, Dr. David Stevens, CEO of the Christian Medical and Dental Association, here on the Faith Radio Network. We'll take a quick break and be right back.